You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Blue Wire.
First pick in the 1991 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Larry Johnson from University of
I'm not supposed to be here, man. A lot of people from where I'm from, so don't make it.
Charlotte, we're back.
All right, everyone, welcome in to another Buzz Beat, a Charlotte Hornets podcast. This is Richie, and I'm going solo today. Let's recap the Hornets game from last night against the Knicks. Let's answer any questions here in Twitter Spaces. I also have a handful of other listener questions that I'm sure I'll get to here in this recording. So the game last night, good win for the Hornets, 104-96 over the Knicks. Bumps this team back up to 500 with a 7-7 record. Drops the Knicks down to 7-6. And it was a back and forth game, a game of a lot of like long extended runs, especially in that third quarter for the Hornets. And the Knicks even had a run of their own with their bench unit and was able to get a lead in the fourth quarter. And then it's funny, actually, when the starters came back for the Knicks, that's when Hornets went on the run to end the game. So Kemba returns to Charlotte once again. Had a really fast start, scored, I think, 17 points in that first quarter. He finished with 26 overall, so meaning he only scored 9 points in those final three quarters of play. Really, really bad games from the Knicks, I guess, quote-unquote, two best players in R.J. Barrett and Randle. Did not shoot the ball well at all. Barrett scored 2 points for the Knicks, Randle scoring just 10 points. I thought Alec Burks had a pretty sneaky, underrated game for the Knicks. Big fan of Quickley. I thought Quickley played well, and he was a good spark from behind the arc for that team. He does have a weird, like, shooting form to me. Like, his legs just are kind of cockeyed a little bit. But he nailed, like, two threes in a matter of, like, 30 seconds to end the third quarter to give a little bit of momentum to Knicks heading into that fourth quarter. But, again, that bench unit for the Knicks could really only hold on for so long. You know, Thibodeau played them as long as he could, and that lead that they tried to kind of sustain a little bit in that fourth quarter, it only was sustained for so long, because once when Randle and RJ came back in, the Hornets basically went on a run of their own. So I'll highlight a couple of players, and if there's anyone here in Twitter Spaces that has a comment or a question, I'll take it. I'm solo today, so this is not going to last too long, but just wanted to talk some Charlotte Hornets here. I see Owen. I see Eddie in here as well. A couple players that I want to highlight from last night. LaMelo Ball did not shoot the ball particularly well from the court, but definitely filled up the stat sheet. He was one assist away from another triple-double in his career. And he had 17 freaking rebounds, 17 rebounds. He's always been a good rebounder for a guard and really just a good rebounder in general. But you could tell with the way that the energy was in the Spectrum Center last night, and especially in the second half, he had a little bit of extra juice, extra energy, and he had this like want to when attacking the boards. And one thing that I did notice coming out of halftime with LaMelo was that his defensive intensity was evident. I think sometimes he can get a little bit lackadaisical on that end. maybe earlier in the games too, when there's not as much like at stakes, I guess. But when he came out in the second half and he was picking up Kemba full court, he was navigating and fighting through screens with a purpose. Like, you could tell that he was wanting to win this game. And even Miles said it after the game. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. And I don't like the fact that the Knicks fans, obviously they travel well, but you could hear them as Obi Toppin was, you know, making that windmill dunk and quickly was making his threes. But the energy was really good last night from the crowd. And I think LaMelo fed off of that. I think Miles fed off of that. So even though LaMelo didn't shoot the ball really that well from the court, he's clearly able to impact the game in so many other areas. And some players, when they don't shoot the ball well, there's nothing else that they can turn to and nothing else that they can kind of impact the game with. But that's not the case for LaMelo Ball. But another player that I've got to talk about here is Gordon Hayward. I think sometimes he can get overlooked, whether it's this game or just in general on this team. You know, Rozier looked solid, you know, had a nice third quarter. Miles has the windmill dunk. He had the clutch plays down the stretch. I just mentioned Melo and his near triple-double. But we can't overstate what Gordon Hayward means to this team. He did play 37 minutes, which was a team high. And for one of the older players on this roster, if not the oldest, I can't remember if him or Ish is the older player. But anyway, you would think that those minutes would have to come down a little bit. He did score 22 points, 9 of 17 from two-point range, had 7 assists, which was probably the biggest thing that I noted, 6 of those coming in the second half, and 5 rebounds. So just like LaMelo, he's filling out the stat sheet as well. Obviously, he just isn't as flashy. He doesn't have the highlight plays. He does it through power. He does it through fundamentals. You know, I think the Hornets picked on RJ Barrett, and he was just a little bit more powerful, a little bit more quicker to the spots in terms of where he wanted to go. And there was a couple of plays where he would just cut from the corner, and RJ would be a step slow, and Hayward doesn't mind backing in to that defender and getting space down there and creating space with his strength. I think his actual physical strength is underrated at times, and I think he uses it really well, functionally well. So I don't think that can be overstated enough, the way that he does play. So, Eddie, I do see here that you have a request. Let me finish my little spiel here on Hayward, and I will get to you. There is a Twitter thread that I put out today in terms of how he played and, you know, using him as a screener. Kemba Walker, obviously undersized. They tried to pick on him a little bit. And there's a couple of times where Hayward would either go up for a screen or slip real quick and get that mismatch. You can just use him in so many different ways. And I think, like I said, the biggest thing last night was the 7 assist, because when he gets it going, he has a way about him that he can drive and kick and find open shooters. He's very effective. And I think when teams realize that he's got it going and Borrego turns to Hayward in certain situations, all eyes are on him. He's got a veteran enough presence to know, hey, even if I got it going, I'm not going to just start forcing up shots, even if I have the hot hand right now. So there's a couple times in that second half where drove, kick, and it led to 3 assists on 3 back-to-back-to-back possessions in that third quarter. And like I said, 7 assists overall for Gordon Hayward last night. So well-rounded game for him.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Eddie, I will turn to you if you have a comment or a question.
Yes, those are a few things. I really did enjoy your thread, your Twitter thread this morning, just seeing how well Gordon was able to play. And, you know, he's, you know, that sneaky points. You always look at the end of the day, you always look, you're like surprised how many points. You're like, oh, wow, he really was scoring really well. Outside of that, I am noticing that when LaMelo locks in, he's a real threat in the passing lanes, which I really do. It's a really interesting gamble just to be able to watch it and see, especially when it pays off. And lastly, to not take too long, I'm really excited to see James Bouknight and hopefully Kai Jones play tonight in the G League game. And yeah, I'm excited for them to actually get some playing time somewhere.
I would agree. But do you put much stock into G League play, Eddie? Like, do you take a lot away from it in terms of like, okay, this guy drops 30 in G League? Is that something that you're like, okay, that's going to translate, or do you just kind of take it with a grain of salt?
Personally, I would say that I probably put in it as much as I would put into summer league, maybe a little bit more because you are going against, I say, a little better competition. But I do think that it's better than sitting on a bench for 48 minutes and just watching the game, because I can definitely see, especially Bouknight's frustration just sitting there and game in and game out. So in my mind, it's just something better than sitting.
Yeah, I would agree. I think some people say that you can't learn too much from sitting on the end of the bench. I think you can take away certain things while watching the team play. But I think to your point, James Bouknight, especially this high draft pick, he needs some run out there. And we've had this conversation here on the pod before where a little bit surprised as to why Booknight's not getting some run. But I just think with the way that Cody Martin's been playing as well, Oubre, he's sitting behind. So all these kind of guards slash wings, and obviously Rozier is slowly coming back to health. It's going to be hard to find some time for Bouknight. So I'll be interesting to see. I'm not going to watch them play tonight in the Swarm, but I probably will look at the numbers after the fact. But it's always one of those things, if they put up 30 points, like it's 30 points in the G League. And hopefully they aren't developing bad habits and taking bad shots. And the good thing about Greensboro and Charlotte is that they run the same system. And they try to look for the same types of shots. And hopefully both of these players, both James and Kai, play within themselves and don't try to take too many shots that are out of their realm. Other notes from last night. Like I said, Bridges just totally outplayed Randall. I love the fact that Obi Toppin, first off, had a windmill dunk. And then several possessions later, Miles Bridges did the same thing. His three was not falling last night, Bridges, that is. But he was still able to plug away, and he fed off the crowd. He had that one spin move late in the game against Julius Randle in the middle of the court, the fourth quarter. It led to a finger roll bucket. That felt like the nail in the coffin there, because the bench unit for the Knicks did bring them back in the fourth quarter. But once when RJ and Julius came back in, it was actually the momentum switched to Charlotte, which is crazy. Another note from last night, I don't really have the numbers in front of me, but the zone, which we saw a lot of against Memphis, was, I don't think was as effective. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me. They definitely didn't use it as much as they did against the Grizzlies. And that's going to be interesting to see how they use that moving forward, because we, as we all know, as Hornets fans, the defense for this team is not great. I need to look up what their defensive rating is real quick. Yeah, they're 27th overall, which is bottom four there. Mason Plumlee, I would love to hear from anyone here in Twitter Spaces what their thoughts are on Mason Plumlee. I get the concerns with that guy. He's an east-west type of guy in offense. Teams are playing off of him, and he's not attacking that space. He clogs the offensive side of the court for stretches. But I still don't think he's as bad as people are making him out to be. Is he great? No. Is he passable? I would say yes. I think he's going to help the team rebound the ball well. He's even valuable on the offensive glass. He has a lot of rebounds where he just kind of taps it back out. He's going to hit cutters with his passes. I think sometimes, I've noted over the past couple of games, like some of his passes have not ended up as assist because obviously the guy doesn't make it on the back end. So you're not seeing that in the stat sheet. I think he's been decent. I still think there are concerns with the center rotation. And obviously PJ, I think that when he comes back, there's going to be some conversations whether or not he needs to start at the five. I don't know if anyone has any feelings about that, but PJ, I feel like, has transitioned almost to a center at this point in his career where he's not playing a whole lot of minutes at that four. You're not seeing him and Plumlee play together all that much. So, Eddie, what do you have thoughts on Mason Plumlee here? Like, I get it. Like, he's not the greatest, but I also think that the hate that he's received probably is not as deserved.
I completely agree. I think that we all, I guess, expected Mason Plumlee to come in, and we were, I guess, surprised to have him come in, and we were like, oh, he's the starting center. I think for what he does well, but I think people have high expectations, especially coming off of many years in a row of not having a dominant center in the middle, or a center who can stretch the floor religiously. I do think that if another center was to be traded for, you know, the Miles Turners of the world that always being spoke about, I do think I could actually see PJ kind of moving back to the four. I could definitely see a lineup of a LaMelo, Terry, Miles, PJ, and insert other center who can stretch the floor. But that's just my thought, but I completely agree with you. I think for what he does well. We know his capabilities. I just think when people are just ready for the next growth at the center position.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, the Hornets really haven't had a great center in the longest time. And centers, like, are a dying breed in the sense that more people are going small. So Borrego is like fully bought into that. So it seems like PJ Washington is that perfect fit as that small ball five, but you clearly need depth. I'm actually enjoying Nick Richards in terms of his growth as well. I think his emergence has been great this year. I would still say I have a little bit more trust in Plumlee in terms of what he can be like as a net gain versus Richards. I think I have a slight more confidence level in Plumlee. And I think it's obviously due to a lot because of the experience. But yeah, the center position has not been great for Charlotte. He definitely clogs the lane on the offensive side of the court. But he does have some passing chops that I think people don't recognize sometimes because it doesn't always end up as an assist. And to that point that we were just talking about with the small ball lineups, without PJ, the Hornets played Miles at the five last night as a small ball five. In the last 7 to 8 minutes of the game, he was out there as the lone big man, and that freed up space on the offensive side of the court. And in the last 6.5 minutes, I took a note of this, Ball, Rozier, Oubre, Hayward, and Bridges closed the game Obviously, Bridges at the five there. And they outscored the Knicks 15-7 in that last half quarter. Shot the ball 83% from inside the arc. So clearly, it is opening up lanes inside the three-point line. And they were able to shoot 83% from inside the arc as Miles as the small ball five. So it's not something that they can use 24-7. And even when PJ comes back, you're still going to need Plumlee. You're still going to need Richards to a certain extent. So I guess we'll wrap with this. We've got the Golden State Warriors on Sunday. Golden State is 11-1. I'm sure out of all the people that are in here right now, they're probably not expecting a win on Sunday night. I think this team obviously is a top five team on both ends of the court. Very good passing team, even more so than the Hornets. From a shooting profile standpoint, they don't allow shots at the rim. And Charlotte is second in the NBA in attempt rate at the rim. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle there. If Charlotte can get enough penetration, get enough shots at the rim, that could bode well for their success. And you would think maybe, okay, the Hornets are very good in transition. Maybe they can turn the Warriors over, and that would allow them to get more attempts at the rim. I just looked this up this morning. The Warriors do turn the ball over quite a bit, but their turnovers are of the, like a good chunk of their turnovers are of the dead ball variety. So they're giving that team time to come back and set up on defense. So if they turn the ball over and it goes out of bounds, clearly the transition offense for Charlotte is not going to kind of rev up there. You know, the Warriors defense is good, and when they get set, they're even better. So that's going to be an interesting battle there in terms of if Charlotte can, one, get out in transition, get shots at the rim, where Warriors are very good at eliminating that type of stuff. And this is the second meeting against these two teams. Bridges and Hayward had a very good game the last time that they played. But the team did give up 31 points to Jordan Poole. You know, Poole's a nice player, good on defense. He can score at the rim. But that can't happen Sunday night if Charlotte wants to have a chance to win. So I think I'm going to wrap here, not expecting a win against Golden State, but you got to like their chances a little bit better at home, maybe coming off the high of the win against the Knicks. I think the Hornets need to get 2 to 3 wins on this four-game home stretch. Right now they've got 1 of 1, right, against the Knicks. So there's a couple of games that seem a little bit more winnable. Tomorrow night against the Golden State Warriors is probably one of the tougher ones coming up. And, yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed this talk. Thank you to everyone that showed up. Thank you to Eddie for speaking up a couple times. And as always, guys, if you guys can give us a rating and review on the pod, that would be awesome. We really do appreciate that stuff. And, enjoy reading them. So I will talk to you guys later, and I think that we'll probably do another one of these maybe after like a midweek game. Probably not tomorrow night, but probably the midweek game. So talk to you guys later.